This is One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health.
It doesn't get much juicier than this, people. The week one matchup is out. Prior to the 8 p.m. full schedule release of the Bills 2023 NFL regular season schedule, Bills at Jets, Monday Night Football, week one.
Good stuff,
go
Nate.
Get it.
Called it.
We were talking about that earlier in the week, and even last week, that with Rodgers in New York, knowing that division games are scheduled early in the season and at the end of the season, this was kind of a no-brainer for the Jets to be somewhere on week one, and why not stick them with the Bills?
It happens so rare. I always like to gloat when it happens. I told you so.
Yeah. So
it makes too much sense, man. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And there it is. We have since learned that the kickoff game, of all things, which we knew would include the Chiefs, will also include, Steve, a certain team that I think you dismissed a little out of hand the other day. The Detroit Lions will be playing the Kansas City Chiefs at Arrowhead in the league kickoff game, Steve. The Detroit Lions, suddenly a sexy pick. When have you ever heard the Detroit Lions and sexy used in the same sentence?
Never.
Yeah, but
never. That's a good point. The Lions are in that game because you want to get it early because they're going
to
the bottom falls out, before the roof caves in, whatever you want to say. The roof and the bottom's going to fall out and the roof is going to cave in Detroit.
Steve has absolutely zero faith.
I don't.
In the Lions organization.
They're like, you know why the Lions are a sexy pick? Because the really hot chick left and went to New York.
Yeah.
So now they got a chance to be the last,
the best
the
of
last
the rest,
sexy thing standing in the room.
Yeah.
Right. That's why
it's getting late. It's getting late, and they had to pick somebody.
That's exact. The NFC North has become.
Oh boy.
You know, it's the best donkey in the stable that's left.
Right. Okay. Fair enough.
The NFC North will not be seen on primetime.
I will say this, though. I think the Lions can be entertaining from a point scoring perspective.
Their
offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, really made a name for himself last year.
Yeah.
And this year, you have a healthy, well, no, you don't have Jameson Williams. He's suspended for the first 6 games. The bottom's already falling out.
Is that the roof caving in, or is that the bottom falling out?
I was just thinking to myself, we'll get to see Jameson. Oh, no, we won't.
I think Jameson Williams is the roof caving in. The bottom hasn't fallen out yet.
Oh, boy. So it'll be interesting to see if Goff and that offense can keep up with the Chiefs.
Well, that's the thing. They were fun to watch last year. And they gave the Bills all they could handle on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. And Bills won that in a squeaker.
And that's – so they – and Campbell, they were the flavor of the month last year. You know, Hard Knocks, they were on TV. People got exposed to the kind of coaching Dan Campbell can give.
Yep.
He's a dude, man. Guys want to rally around him. And I knew that when he was the interim coach of the Miami Dolphins. I did a game or two of theirs back in the day.
Yeah.
And he was a –
He's no a, nonsense.
He is a man's man, a football player kind of guy. And guys like that. And he is doing the same thing in Detroit.
Before we dive into what we know is the Bills' season opener on Monday Night Football at the Jets, which will be the topic of conversation today, we'll explain in a second. Steve, you had a bit of a harrowing sports viewing experience last night. What the heck happened?
Hey, listen to this. Okay, so everybody out there with young children knows that, you know, you got the kids to go to bed. When the kids go to bed, man, you got to go to bed because you're beat, right? Not at my house. I'm an empty nester. I got this house. It's empty. My wife goes to bed. I get home. We get home from being out from friends last night, and I'm thinking, hey, playoff hockey, playoff NBA.
Yeah.
LeBron James is playing. And listen, whether you like LeBron or not, he's the best player of his generation. He's like in the conversation for the best ever. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You can still say Michael Jordan's the best or whatever. But LeBron is the guy that's being compared, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He's 40 years old. The time is running out.
Yeah.
The time's running out.
Yeah.
He has
seemingly.
Been, yeah, he's the face of the National Basketball Association for 15 years, 20 yep. years. I got to watch. And Connor McDavid's taking on Jack Eichel in the hockey playoffs.
Yep.
I got to watch. It's 10:10 at night, and LeBron's just doing the little the rosin puff thing. They're just they haven't even tipped. They haven't even it's 10 o'clock at night and they haven't even tipped off the game. And the well, and the hockey game, it's like I've turned it over to that, and it's like it's 19:27 left in the first. They just dropped the puck. Give me a chance to watch it. I'm dying today because I stayed up and watched it like through halftime. I'm like, oh my God. It was like they finally got up 60. I'm like, oh, fine, I can go to bed now. And then Edmonton runs off and leaves. I missed all the fun in the Edmonton game because then a fight breaks out and they start slashing each other. I missed all of that because I was in bed.
So when did
give me a chance to watch it.
So you were dozing off in your chair pretty early? Or
my dog was looking at me cross-eyed. He's like, what are you doing? He's sitting there going, I got to stay up because it's my thing. I'm the dog. I'm the family dog. I got to stay up with you. But, you know, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
He's like, I got to get to bed. My dog was looking at me like, what are we doing?
So what is your solution to that dilemma?
Tip the thing off and drop the puck at 1 p.m.
Well, that's
something.
That's not going to happen on a weeknight.
It's a 4 a.m. It's a 4 p.m. Listen, in Buffalo, everybody in the city would take off work for a playoff hockey game. You can't do that in L.A.? You got 90,000 million people in the city. There's going to be 20,000 will fill the stadium to come watch a hockey game. Vegas, everybody's on vacation. They can show up. Edmonton?
There's nothing
come
else
on.
To, not much else to
what
do.
What else are you going to do?
Except drill for oil.
Drop the – give us a chance to watch it.
Yeah. I will say that –
and listen, the L.A. and the Golden State – come on. Golden State's won Steph Curry and LeBron. And you're going to tip that thing at 10:10.
Yeah, you're doing a disservice to the numbers that game could pull nationwide
it's
by
the
tipping
only
it.
Sport, it's the only chance you got in a league, in a country that's run by the NFL, sports-wise.
Right.
You got a chance to go out and win some fans.
And it's possibly the last time that you will see Steph Curry go against LeBron James in a playoff series. Of either of their careers. It might be the last time you see that. It is appointment viewing,
yeah.
Whether you're even a – I mean, even if you're a casual NBA fan, which is something that I would
I'm
probably label you.
I'm struggling. I'm in sports media
like,
and I'm struggling.
I would label you a casual NBA fan. Steph Curry and LeBron James in a playoff series together are going to get you to the television, but it's not going to keep you watching until 1 in the morning when you tip it off at 10 after 10 at night. And I don't know why the NBA – I understand you've got Knicks Heat at 7:30, but stagger start those things and do live look-ins.
It's unbelievable.
And give that. I mean, you're on TBS and ABC and ESPN.
It's incredibly short.
So why not stagger those games? I mean, that's what the NFL does when they doublehead the Monday Night Football in Week 1. They have one game at 7. The other game out at the West Coast is on at 9.
Right.
And if one overlaps the other, so be it. But That's what the NBA should have done. They missed an opportunity here because they're so obsessed with having standalone games that they don't do the overlap thing. I'm telling you right now, all they had to do was tip that game an hour earlier. That's 6:10 Pacific time.
Yeah.
People can get – well, maybe not on the 405 they can't.
No,
can't get from work to the game
listen,
in time.
Don't give me traffic problems. Shut up. Drop the puck.
Yeah.
Drop the puck. Tip the ball off. Traffic problems. Give me.
Well, the 405 is bad out there.
It's not. It's nobody's fault but yours. Stay at home. Watch the. I don't care. If you're
well,
gonna,
I gathered that.
Let the people who want to be there make plans to be there.
Yeah.
You don't.
I get it.
If you're trying.
I'm with you on this. Look,
you can't.
I'm an East Coast guy, so I'm all for. The West Coast games being scheduled just an hour earlier. I understand you got to accommodate the home state fans. I mean, you got two California teams playing each other. You do have to cater to their primary
audience. They've
already
been accommodated to. You got in the playoffs.
No, I know. But you got to, in terms of when the game airs, you got to cater to your main primary audience, which is obviously the state of California here, in two major markets, L.A. and San Francisco. But at the same time, I think you have to think bigger than that if you're the NBA. You have two generational talents, both of whom have won four championships, playing each other, maybe for the last time in the conference semifinals. It's probably the last time these two are going to square off in the playoffs. You have to take enormous advantage of that. And I would tell you, put it in an 8 o'clock window.
Yes.
You know? And if you want to watch the Knicks instead against the Heat, so be it. But here's the marquee one. And if everybody wants to watch that, fine by us.
And I don't buy this thing about, you know, having – it's they're playing every other day. It's hard. It's, you know, they need some rest. Play them every 3 days. It doesn't matter. Give them an extra two days of rest.
But that's
I do not care. At least tip it at a normal time.
Right. And I think the exploits of Connor McDavid are horribly lost on the majority of this country,
right,
because nobody east of the Rocky Mountains sees him play.
To begin
unless with. You are a diehard NHL fan and you have the center ice package or something like that, or you're willing to stay up late at night because maybe you work a later shift or something like that.
Don't get me started on
that. You don't see him play. I'm just going
to
tell you.
That's right. You don't see him play.
I'm just going to tell you. I would consider myself a casual NHL fan. I watch the playoffs usually. But if it's on late, I'm not staying up. I'm just not. I can tell you unequivocally, Steve, I have not seen Connor McDavid in an NHL hockey game from start to finish. I have not watched a full three-period game in which Connor McDavid has played. Why? Because I'm not staying up.
Yeah.
I'm just not doing it. So it's a missed opportunity to market your game the best way possible through a superstar player. The NBA became a global brand, because they used Michael Jordan as its flag bearer.
That's right.
At every turn. David Stern made Michael Jordan the face of the league, and the NBA went from being a national brand. The NBA went from having games in the regular season on tape delay to becoming a global brand. And that's the amazing thing.
It's incredibly short-sighted. First of all, the lottery that sent Connor McDavid, the rigged lottery that sent Connor McDavid to Edmonton was one mistake that they made that should have been rectified. He should have been on the East Coast, here in Buffalo, somewhere where we can watch him. Secondly, they do this with this playoff where they're tipping it off, dropping the puck at 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, it's too late.
What are you doing?
You're losing more than half the
country. You got the star of your entire league, the face of your whole league, is hidden in Edmonton, Alberta.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, fine. But put Edmonton on the East Coast once in a while where we can watch the guy play.
Right. Yeah, it's unfortunate.
And the same thing with the NBA. Like you said, it's a marquee. This is an epic, almost historic matchup.
And they're wasting it.
Totally. It's the like just flushed it.
And I'm just
going to
say
it down the toilet.
I'm just going to say it. There's no way in hell the NFL would let those opportunities
slide
in any way, shape, or form. So with that in mind, let's pivot to the NFL if we could.
Ooh.
Because Steve and I have done this a couple of times last year. We had fun with this. We kind of, you know, having both of us having grown up with Monday Night Football and the classic matchup intros with the music and everything. During a couple of the Monday night games last year, Steve and I kind of did our own little Monday Night Football monologues. Steve chose to sit this one out, so I will take the reins and try my best to do a Monday Night Football intro for what will be Bills at Jets on the 22nd anniversary, by the way, of 9/11. I mean, the emotional state of MetLife Stadium on Monday night, September 11th, this fall is going to be through the roof, if it had a roof. And we'll get into that a little bit later on here in the show. But I'm going to take a crack at this to build up the hype for Monday Night Football Week 1, Bills at Jets. Let's roll the music. Tonight, it's a long-awaited moment for Jets fans. They actually have a quarterback, as four-time MVP Aaron Rodgers could become the first Jets QB to throw for 4,000 yards in a season since Joe Willie Namath in 1967.
Yes, it's been that long.
But Willie lift the Jets to their first playoff berth in 14 years. Jets fans certainly think so, as they have visions of the Super Bowl dancing in their overhyped heads. But their division rivals to the north have different ideas. The Buffalo Bills have been pawned off as an AFC afterthought after a disappointing finish in the divisional round last January. But rising from the ashes is what the Bills do best. Josh Allen takes a revitalized offense into MetLife Stadium, with head coach Sean McDermott now calling the shots on defense. It's an early measuring stick game for the AFC East. And tonight we find out who's holding the ruler. It's the Bills and Jets next on Monday Night Football. What do you think?
I like it. It's our first one. We're going to do more of those.
We enjoy those. I like start sweating by the time I'm finished.
I know, right? I don't know if they're.
I don't know how those announcer guys do that.
I don't know how they're. I don't know if they'll get more than his first opening night Monday night game. They ended up with like six of them last year. Actually, five of them got played, of course, because of the Cincinnati cancellation. But
yeah,
it's different this year. And Bills fans, we've been talking about it all offseason. The Bills, and you said it in the opening, in the open, were an afterthought, right? I mean, there are guys who are. I mean, we talk about Sam Acho doesn't even have the Bills in their top five in the AFC, mm-hmm. right? I mean, people are like, they're totally writing them off, and which is much more comfortable for Bills fans when the team's written off rather than running from the front, right? So, I'm all about the, missing that hype train, but yeah, that's. I'm all about it. That was a good intro. I liked it.
Yeah. I went to my guttural announcer voice. I was trying to – who's the – I mean, they used to have Frank Gifford do it, and he wasn't guttural at all.
Well, it used to be Howard, and then it was they don't use Earl for that. They have that, their voiceover guy with the deep –
Yeah, that's who I was thinking of.
He doesn't do that. It used to be like John Fusenda, in the day, legendary of NFL films. But they usually
have – I'll do it in my own voice next.
They usually have it – Now it's either Joe Buck, right? It's the play-by-play
guy.
Yeah, I think
it's Joe.
Yeah, I think it's Joe Buck that does
it. I'll have to do it in my own voice when we do it. We'll do it in week one, obviously.
They don't do it like the old days. And there are probably reasons for it.
That's why I kind of felt – you feel obligated to throw some guttural pomp and circumstance into it.
Yeah, you got
to
get some bucket of gravel in your voice so you can get it out. Yeah, absolutely.
It's interesting. So I have high school buddies – who are dyed-in-the-wool Jets fans.
Sure.
So I texted them this morning after it came out, and I said, see you in week one, fellas. And the reactions...
from your buddy Jet fans?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So let's roll
Priceless.
Through these briefly, because it's worth it. I said, see you Monday night in week one, fellas. One guy says, who's a Giants fan, by the way, that's a great Monday night football game. Another guy says, yeah, baby. Another guy says, boom. And then in true Jets fashion, the last guy says, Bills by six.
Bills by six.
So the other guy responds, I hope your prediction skills on this Jets-Bills game is equivalent to your Knicks prediction last night, because he said the series was over and the Knicks won.
Right.
And he says, all part of the plan. So the other guy says, yeah, I know it as well as a Knicks fan and a Jets fan. Always predict that they lose, so on the rare occasion when they don't, it's a lovely surprise.
Right.
That's where Jets fans have been living for 40 years.
It is so delicious for Bills fans, because Bills, lived through the drought. Most of the Bills fans these days have, some experience with having a rough go of it. Jet fans, particularly in this offseason, it's just been delicious to watch.
Yeah.
They go from giddy excitement of literally thinking about and talking about going to a Super Bowl and winning it, like then Joe Namath and having a having a 3,000-yard passer for the, you know, all the whole 4,000-yard passer for the first time since Joe.
67, I mean,
just,
Steve.
Just going crazy over it. And then on the flip side of that, just knowing in their heart of hearts that it's going to crumble and burn to the ground.
Right. And that is kind of the subject we want to discuss with you today. You saw it come across this morning. We want to know, what is your gut reaction to how the Bills and Jets matchup will play out in week one? Like, just right off the top of your head, first thought of feeling in your gut reaction to how this thing is going to play out in week one, knowing what we know now. Obviously, there are other circumstances that could change the equation for you in your brain. Perfect example, is Von Miller playing week one? Because if he is, Bills fans feel a whole lot better about that game, right? But we don't know that right now.
Right.
So just gut reaction based on what you know now, your gut reaction after seeing this matchup being announced this morning as to how you think it'll play out in week one. 803-0550, the local number to get on board. 1-888-550-2550, the toll-free number if you're outside the 716 calling area, or you can hit us up on the tweet sheet as always at 1BillsLive. What did you think, Steve? You saw it. It's Monday night. I know you and I kind of anticipated that Bills at Jets sounded like a tasty week one matchup, whether it was Sunday night or Monday night. But here it is, Monday night. It's reality now. What was your gut reaction when it came out?
I think it's going to be a really good game. I like the Bills in this spot, but I think it's going to be a one score game. I think it's going to be really close. The Bills notoriously get off to a fast start. I think one of the things that's in the Bills' favor is the fact that they're going to have a new defensive coordinator, new guy calling the shots, and they're going to have some new wrinkles to explore. You know, I think the Jets, on the other hand, certainly Aaron Rodgers is a difference maker. And their roster is as good. You can make a case that when it's healthy, and I don't know if Breece Hall is going to be completely healthy by the time.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Right.
Like, is he back?
When they're healthy, the Jets are as good a roster as any in the National Football League. We saw it last year. In fact, if the Bills play their game, the Jets are the only team last year that beat the Bills in the regular season. You know, the Bills lost to the Dolphins, which they were getting cooked and they got baked. And then in the
because of the weather,
yeah. And then in the Vikings game, I mean,
they frittered that away.
Oh my gosh, yeah. They absolutely dropped it. The Vikings had no business winning that game at all. So of the three losses they took in the regular season last year, the Jets game was the one because of the roster that you can say, wow, yeah, that team really played well, mm-hmm. and that was with Zach Wilson.
Right.
So you come into this game thinking, you know, with the Bills' edge of the experience, the continuity they've got year over year with the stars and their coaching staff and all of that stuff going for them and the pack, even though they brought in some guys from Green Bay and the offensive coordinator and it's Aaron's offense, it's not Aaron's team. You know what I mean? At least not then.
Right.
So I think that gives the Bills a little bit of an advantage in that game. So I think it's going to be a fantastic game.
Yeah, the thing about this is I think you could safely make the argument that Aaron Rodgers is going to be as motivated to impress as much as any other time in his career.
Right.
I mean, the only other time that might come close is playing in the Super Bowl for the first time, and he won that game, as we know, back in 2010. And when he took over for Brett Favre as the starter in his first year as a starter in Green Bay.
Right.
Those are the only two times I can probably point to that he would be as motivated as he is going to be in week one against the Bills this year for the Jets.
The third, the opening day after they drafted Jordan Love.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Okay.
And he was back-to-back MVPs those 2 years.
Right.
So, yeah, that his motivation meter is going to be off the charts. So he's going to want to play. And it's a lot like, you know, we've talked about the Bills, you know, being motivated, gotten a lot of guys on one-year deals, trying to hit another contract, that kind of thing. It makes a big, big difference because as easy as it is for these guys to say, all right, let's go out and play a game, it's not so easy to say, all right, let's go out and prepare to play a game. Let's go out and practice. Let's go out and lift. Let's go run. Let's go run seven, do all that. It's not so easy to get these guys together and to get it together and work hard to get ready. That's the issue. And when you've got a guy like Rodgers who's going to be that and gets into training camp with these guys and says, hey, here's how it's going to work. Let's go. They're going to jump on board with him. And so, yeah. You're right. It makes a difference. It really makes a difference. And that's why I think this is going to be a good one, man. We talked about 9,000 different opening scenarios. This was one of them for this very reason. Two great quarterbacks, the most interesting player move of the offseason, mm-hmm. and the biggest one in a while, and going against the Bills on a Monday night game. I think it's huge.
Let's go to the phones to see what you think in terms of what your gut reaction was to how the Bills at Jets matchup will play out in week one after you found out it was going to be the Monday night game to lead off the season. And leading us off is Ron in Alden. What do you got for us, Ron?
Well, the Bills are going on Monday night football. And let me tell you something. I'm glad to Jets because, you know what? The Bills have a chip on their shoulder, probably the biggest chip on our shoulder since the Jim Kelly days when Steve Katz were playing and everyone doubted. And right now, everyone's talking about, oh, Miami's going to be this. You know, New England's done, but Miami, the Jets, and I think the Bills for the last month of the season last year were playing on fumes. Really, they were a ghost, a shell of themselves. They gave everything they had, but they're coming in with a chip on their shoulder. I mean, you could just feel it. You just – all the talk. I think we're going to smash the Jets into 1968. I mean, we're going to put them so far back that, I don't know if, Steve, you might remember this. You guys – it was the first time the Bills were on Monday Night Football in a long time. You guys went to New York Jets, and Thurman Thomas ran for like 340 yards, and you guys just killed him like 35 to like 10 or something. And, you know, and that's when the Jets actually were good, and the Bills are just starting to get good. And I know the Jets are just – Rodgers is old. I mean, he is older. He's, you know, he's a shell of himself too. The Bills will have no business not winning that game by at least 20 points. Wow. And I'll consider that a close game. So that's my point. I'm looking forward to it. And the Bills are ready to roll, man. Go Bills.
All right. Thanks, Ron. Appreciate the phone call. Bills by 20.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm quite that confident because I think the one thing the Jets are going to be able to do this year is score points.
Right.
There are question marks, like is Breece Hall going to be able to play week one coming off of his ACL knee injury midseason last year? Is Von Miller going to be able to play coming off his ACL injury in week one? Those are all completely up in the air right now, and we probably won't have a better picture of that until we get to training camp. Those are two pretty important pieces into how this matchup
Breece Hall, Von
could play
Miller.
Out.
Certainly. And, you know, coming through training camp healthy and all of that as well. But, you know, Aaron Rodgers, he's 39 at the moment. And I don't know. It is going to be a good game. I think he's drinking the Kool-Aid, no doubt about it. Bills by 20 is a big ask against that team in that spot. 9-11, New York.
Right, that's the other element we have to discuss.
All the pregame. It has been a couple of decades. There'll be guys on the field who were barely born when 9-11 occurred. Think about that. Most of us, like guys like me, I mean, it's still in our vernacular. I mean, it's still a huge event in our lives. So mm-hmm. There's going to be that in the stadium, the Jets and the New York Jets and the Bills. I think it's hard to I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but a Bills blowout win, certainly Bills fans will take it, but you may as well, on the same, the other side of that coin, you may be walking into an absolute tree grinder.
Mm-hmm.
An absolute tree grinder. So keep that in the back of your in the back of your mind.
Yeah. And we'll explain why when we come back. Bill in Florida is going to lead us off as we take more of your phone calls. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550, the number to get on board. Got an open line for you. Tell us your gut reaction after seeing what the opener is going to be as to how Bills at Jets on Monday night will play out in week one. More of your phone calls next here on One Bills Live. All right, week one is Monday Night Football for the Bills. Bills at Jets. We want to know what your gut reaction is to how the Bills and Jets matchup will play out in week one. Initial feelings about this one and how it might shake out on 9/11, which is a whole nother part of the equation here. Just having experienced it personally, I can tell you, when New York fans believe their team is good, the energy level goes up by a factor of 10, and the atmosphere can get very intimidating. I've witnessed it in Yankee Stadium and a lot of other arenas in the New York metropolitan area. It becomes an overwhelming thing to where you can't even hear yourself think as an athlete, and it affects performance. And so knowing that there's going to probably be a tremendous, huge pregame run-up with presumably a 9/11 ceremony, and it'll be the 22nd anniversary of 9/11. You're 15 miles from where those terrorist attacks happen. It's particularly important in that region of the country. Then you roll in Rodgers, first start as a Jet, all of that. I mean, it's going to be that fan base is going to be in a froth. So getting off to a quick start would be beneficial for the Bills to take the crowd out of it initially. And then if you can really get up on that team somehow, some way, you can actually turn that crowd against their own team.
That's right.
They'd be booing the Jets in 10 minutes.
Expectations are what they are in New York. And I'll say this, too. Brownie and I have long conversations about what this is going to be like in New York and all the ways it could go, because the media scrutiny that they get in New York is really subversive from within. That team has to deal with its own guys who cover the team on a regular basis looking to one-up each other, and controversy sells. So they try and instill that controversy into a locker room, and you're trying to get ready to play the Bills, and they're wanting to talk about he said, she said, and this and that and the other, but and it has nothing to do with it. You got to deal with that every day.
Yeah.
And the expectations being through the roof like they are in New York, it's going to be if they get off to a fast start, that it's going to be a pressure cooker in New York.
And it's funny, Steve and I were listening to some New York area programs, just curious to see what they were thinking. And one of the guys who's got a radio show there in New York, he said, if the Jets lose this game, it's already going to be like the apocalypse.
Yeah.
One game.
Yeah.
Out of 17. It's over.
They're going to have to recover.
Yeah.
Their entire season after week one if they look bad against the Bills.
Right.
Now, if they come out and the Bills and
win by a field goal,
Tyler Bass hits a 57-yarder to beat them, then they're going to say, okay, it's on. Here we go. We can compete with these guys. We're going to win. Or vice versa. If their kicker makes a 57-yarder to beat the Bills, it's going to be like, all right, here we go. But anything other than a great close game like that, it's just as bad, in my opinion, for the Jets long term if they blow the Bills out. That's just as bad.
Because it could be fool's gold.
Because they will absolutely choke to death on...
Well, the expectations will only go higher.
That's right. They'll choke to death on the expectations.
Yeah.
So it's... They need... if they play well, there's always a chance for them to save it. But if they look bad... Or if they look absolutely like greased lightning.
That might not be good either.
It's not good either. It's not going to be good either.
Let's go to the phones. And as promised to Bill in Florida to lead us off for this segment. Bill, what do you got for us? You're on One Bills Live.
Good afternoon, guys. Great show.
Thanks,
great show. First of all, I'm a transplant from East Aurora, right next to the stadium.
Yep.
Miss Buffalo. To answer your first question, gut reaction, Buffalo by 10.
Okay.
I was there in 73 in Shea, in the old Shea, when OJ did the 2,000-yard mark for the season. And it was spectacular, and they're good fans. And at the time, they were kind of rooting for OJ to break it. And it happened to be in Shea. And... as far as Osiris and Kincaid, I think it's an excellent pick. I think the Bills are really going to roll. I listen to all your programs as far as the 12th man, two tight end spread. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah.
And thank you.
Sure thing, Bill. No problem.
Thanks, Bill.
I will say this about New York fans. Even if you play for the opponent, New York fans know how to recognize greatness when they see it.
Yeah.
And they will respect it and honor it in the moment, even if it's at the expense of their own teams. I saw it growing up all the time. Whether it was a guy, you know, going for 3,000 hits, 300 wins in baseball, you know, somebody like OJ hitting 2,000 yards in a single season, that's history. That's respect. First to ever do it. You know, fans in New York know how to recognize greatness when they see it, and they respect it. So you got to give them credit for that.
Yeah, they do have that. The Jet fans, I think, at a particularly in that stadium and in that city and the way they talk about their team, they know their lights are on. They understand it's hard to win in the league, no question. And they will acknowledge other players who come in there and light them up. I'm with you, Brownie.
He's got Bills.
They know things.
He's got Bills by 10, though.
That is.
Here's the thing. I think.
I mean, we're a Bills
right.
podcast.
So. Right. We had somebody that's saying Bills by 20.
Right.
He says Bills by 10. I think it's going to be a tighter game than that. I think the only reason the Bills probably prevail in this, at least as I see it, and of course, what are we talking? It's 4 months away.
Right.
I wonder if the Jets may not have all their ducks in a row. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to have
right.
to do some shuffling on
that's
that offensive
kinda what I,
line.
Yeah, yeah.
They've got new parts that they're plugging in on offense and defense, for that matter. You got a new starting safety in Chuck Clark. You got some other guys moving in, some other people moving out, not back. And that kind of turnover to become better is understandable, but is it all going to be in place and fit like a glove in week one?
Right.
NFL history says more often than not, that is not the case. You don't hit the ground running when you make those
right.
kinds of changes in the early going. So I think that plays into the hands of the Bills, who obviously offer a whole lot more continuity with their roster than the Jets do with theirs.
I would agree.
Let's get back to the phones and to Jerome in Buffalo next. What do you got for us, Jerome?
Listen, Chris, Steve, the Bills are going to beat the brakes off the Jets. And let me give you two key reasons why. First of all, Rodgers has gotten off to slow starts in the past couple of years for some reason. I don't know what it is, but he doesn't heat up. You know, maybe it's because he's aging or whatever. And he's still great. He's not to be underestimated, but he's just assimilating to this new team. It's going to be difficult to just jump out of the gate and just start, you know, taking on some a behemoth. And let me tell you something about Josh. Number two, Josh doesn't shy away from the spotlight. Man, this guy is a stud. He's like so much poise. When he gets in there, he just is amazing. So I think Josh comes out to start the year off with a big game. And with or without Vaughn, I think they really, you know, I don't think it's going to be 20 or 10, but I think we'll probably win by something like 8 because they'll get a late touchdown late, you know, have teams let up. But the Bills definitely wins this game, no, without a doubt. And that's all I got to say.
All right.
Yeah,
thanks,
Jerome, it's interesting because I had the same conversation and I don't want to jinx it by speaking it, but Josh is a monster in prime time, an absolute monster. And he does, and this team under Sean McDermott notoriously does get out to fast starts. And I'm not going to say what I think Aaron Rodgers is going to do out of the gate because New York ain't Green Bay. So it's going to be different. He has every reason to think it's going to be different in New York, and the roster is going to be better around him. So I'm not going to count on Aaron Rodgers getting out to a slow start. But I will say this. I agree with you. I don't think Buffalo's getting off to a slow start. Whether they win this game or not, they're going to play well.
And I think it's safe to say that history has shown that more often than not, in prime time, Josh rises to the occasion rather than shrink from it.
He's a monster.
When the stakes are higher and the lights are brighter, he plays better more often than not. He raises his game when the stakes are up. And that's not to be discounted in this matchup. Let's go back to the phones and to Kevin in Hamburg. What do you got for us, Kevin?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think it's awesome. I think the Bills will win. But the only thing that worries me is, and of course, I'm sure you're going to hear about it from now until then, or closer then, is the 9/11 thing. That's the only thing. I think that would, because even if Aaron Rodgers didn't come there, they had to live that thing across the board. water. We saw it on TV 400 miles away up here in Buffalo. They had to see it and see the smoke, even if they didn't work at ground zero. And that momentum, that 9/11, Rogers or no Rogers, we had to, you know, it'd be like if someone lived in Limestone and worked in Bradford and someone blew up Bradford. They'd have to look at it every single day, the smoke and stuff like that.
Yeah.
With that possibly, it's kind of scary, you know. They had to live with that. They had to live with it. We saw it 400 miles away on CNN and that.
Right. Yeah,
and
you're right.
And they had to deal with it every single day, even if they didn't have no one killed.
You're right, Kevin. But the thing about that is, and thank you for your call, and I appreciate it. You're right. And we should not forget that's way more important than the football game we're talking about. And it will be commemorated that night by the Jets and the NFL. And it should be. I said it earlier, most of the guys playing in the game will have been toddlers or small children when it happens. So it's gonna strike different. But being in that city in New York in the run up, they're gonna get plenty of information and tutoring about how that should go. And you can bet they're gonna listen to it. So it's gonna be a moment that I think all of us can appreciate, even here in Buffalo. I mean, it's not the same. But both tragedy. I mean, the 514 anniversary is coming up soon, and there's a ton of stuff going on in Buffalo to commemorate that. I'm involved with some of it. Bruce Smith's involved with some of it. It's that kind of thing draws people together, and it unites us. We all agree with that. And New York is no different. As diverse and enormous as that city is, it does unite people. And maybe that's part of the, you know, what the one positive you can take away from a horrific thing like that, a tragedy like
and
that.
And I think that's what Kevin's point is. He sees that uniting the fan base.
And I agree.
Right after it happens. So it's only going to make that atmosphere even more intense and challenging. We got to take a break here, but Jim and Jamestown, Dave in Houston will lead us off when we return. More of your phone calls as we're looking for your gut reaction to how the Bills at Jets matchup will play out in week one now that the season opener has been announced. We're back with more of your phone calls next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. The Bills are giving two tickets away to the 2023 home opener. Enter today at buffalobills.com/home opener for the chance to win. Contest runs now through May 16th. Get online and get in that sweepstakes. That's a pretty good deal. It'll be interesting to see who the home opener is, knowing the Bills will start the season on the road in week one at the Jets on Monday Night Football. Let's get back to the phones and to Jim in Jamestown. What you got for us, Jim?
Yeah, I think it's a shame that Steve Tasker is not in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And I think it's a great thing that open up against at the Jets, because I think our quarterback, Josh Allen, is going to light it up that night. That's all I got to say.
All right. He's going to light it up in MetLife Stadium under the lights. We said it earlier. He does seem to play his best when the lights are the brightest.
Yeah, you made the point as well. Aaron Rodgers is coming into this season insanely motivated to play well.
Yeah.
I mean, he wants to do it in New York, where he's been in Green Bay for 16 years. He wants to do it in New York and be that guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think Josh thinks when he comes in this game?
He's thinking, oh,
right?
Jets are getting all the hype as the class of the division. We're not good anymore.
You know? Oh, you know? We're not in your top five in the AFC.
Yeah.
We're not a Super Bowl favorite.
Just watch.
I'm not in the conversation for MVP. Aaron Rodgers is.
Yeah.
You got a good roster. Yeah. They're both these. Come on, man. That Josh is gonna absolutely play his best.
Yeah, I don't have any question about that.
It has been my take for a long time, ever since I got my head caved in 4 straight Super Bowls. The best way to play in big moments is act like you are showing off for your mom on the front porch.
Yeah.
You know, your mom's going to love you whether you can pull it off or not, right? So just don't worry about not doing it. Watch me, right? And just
look,
go.
Mom.
Just do it. Just show off. Play with no con. It don't matter what consequences are. It don't matter if it's in front of a gazillion people. just go out and have fun and play and just cut it loose. That's the best way to play in big moments because it removes the consequences that will hinder your ability to play your best. And that's where I think both these quarter they're gonna be out there on Monday Night Football opening weekend. They are gonna sling it.
Mm-hmm.
Both these guys are gonna sling it.
Yeah,
and Josh is gonna hurdle some poor soul.
Oh, you think so?
That's
the best bet if it's a DB, because DBs with a 250-pound quarterback running at him usually try to
go low. Josh is gonna hurdle Robert Saleh. Right?
That's going to have to be on the sidelines, apparently. But, okay, fair enough. Let's go to Frank in Woodstock next. What do you got for us, Frank?
Hey, Chris. Hey, Steve. Hall of Famer Steve. Great show. Listen to you guys every day in Woodstock on my DirecTV. Thank God the Bills are going to crush them. There is no pressure on the Bills, none whatsoever. Josh is going to go in there. He's fearless. Everybody's going to go in there with a clean mind. And they were humiliated last year, and just so many things happened to them. And that kid, that new tight end, big debut. I'm telling you, we're going to crush them at their home stadium. Go Bills.
All right, Frank. Thanks for the call. It's amazing how confident. I haven't heard Bills fans this confident in a while.
I know, right? They weren't this confident.
20 points by 10 points. They're going to crush them.
They weren't this confident going into L.A. last year.
Wow. I got to say, it's buoyed my spirits. I'm enjoying this.
Both these teams have a lot to look forward to. And I think it's really fun to think about. And great players, great matchup. It's like Steph Curry and LeBron James in the playoffs. You know, this young, difference-making stallion of a player who's a little bit different than everybody else going against this old guy who has been an MVP and been to the mountaintop a number of times. It's a little bit like that, this opening game. And it's too bad that – and this game's going to tip off at 8 p.m. Eastern and not 10:10 Eastern.
Right, as you get
so back. It's going to be a really good matchup for all those reasons. Plus, we all know, too, those guys are kind of buddies. You know, they play golf together, they hang out, and that's a little bit more flavor to the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. We have to take a break here because when we begin hour number two, we will be doing it with the NFL Vice President of Broadcast Planning, Mike North, who is in the room on Park Avenue when the NFL regular season schedule is put together. We'll get his thoughts on the week one choice, among other things, next here on One Bills Live. Stay tuned.
Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health.
All right, welcome to hour number two here on a Thursday. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. Happy to be joined now by NFL Vice President of Broadcast Planning, Mike North, who is a key component of the NFL schedule being put together. He knows how the sausage is made, and it'll all be revealed tonight at 8 p.m. on NFL Network. All the hay is in the barn, Mike. So this is like you're like an accountant after April 15th. It's you can breathe easy now, right?
I don't know about breathe easy. Now comes honestly the hard part. Now comes the reaction. I mean, we've been at this 14 weeks. We're happy with it. The commissioner was happy enough with it to approve it and allow us to release it. You know, now comes the hard part. It's the club reaction. It's the network television partner reaction. It's the fan reaction. You know, we don't do this for us. We do this for them. So obviously their reaction is the most important thing here. So You know, I'll breathe easier after a couple of days when, you know, certainly the ones who are going to be disappointed, hopefully we knew we're going to be disappointed and we were comfortable with how disappointed and why they were disappointed. It's the ones that always kind of come out of left field and didn't see that one coming. And I can't believe we missed that one. And oh my God, what were we thinking? Those are the ones that I'm still a little trepidatious about.
Are there those every year, or do you, some years better than others? Are there those every year where they come out of left field and you're like, oh wow, how did we miss that? Does that happen a lot?
Yeah. I mean, look, you get the schedule the day it comes out and your reaction to it at that point is just emotional. You know, when are we playing in primetime? When's our bye? You know, when do we have to go to Florida if it's too hot in September? When do we have to go to Lambeau in December if it's too cold? I can't believe we got another early bye week. Why aren't we on Christmas or Thanksgiving? You know, those are emotional. Those are visceral. What ends up happening is after a couple of days when, you know, the coaching staff gets a look at it, or somebody in the PR department, or somebody in the scouting department. And did you know that this is the fourth straight year that we've had to play that team where they've had a positive rest disparity against us? Like stuff like that, that only like the real true wonks would know. Those are the things that kind of trickle out over the next couple of days. And you just kind of file away and you talk to your own people. Like, is that a thing? Like, is it really unfair if you're having to play a team coming off their bye? I mean, when you played Steve, you know, the bye week was a big deal. Teams had incredible records coming off their bye week. So it always felt unfair that we had to play multiple teams coming off of their bye weeks, especially if we were traveling on the road to a team that is rested and at home.
Right.
Lately with the new CBA, you know, you've got to give the players 4 days off and away from the facility. And what seems to be happening is guys kind of get out of their rhythm. And now playing a team coming off their bye has almost shifted statistically to become an advantage because they're out of their routine. And if you're still playing and you're still going, it's actually gone the other way now. Coming off your own bye week has almost become a bit of a disadvantage statistically. So all those things are good feedback, good data. I know we're not supposed to read the internet comments, but I do. And it's always there's always something more to be learned.
Yeah,
right.
Well, you can't make everybody happy. I think we all know that. But, Mike, we do know that week one for the Bills, it came out this morning, Bills at Jets, Monday night leadoff. I think we were kind of surmising that Bills at Jets could very easily be a primetime matchup in week one. We didn't know when. But it just made too much sense to us, and obviously it made sense to you guys as well with Aaron Rodgers being there in New York. And we didn't realize this until the 11th hour, but Monday night is also the 22nd anniversary of 9/11. How much of a no-brainer was it for you guys?
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a no-brainer. There were a couple of different maybe converging elements that kind of got us to that point. One of them, it was obviously 9/11, so that we knew, and it kind of made sense and maybe felt right to have one of the New York teams hosting that night. For a minute there, we actually considered Jets versus Giants. Yeah. They do play each other this year, and so you could have done both New York teams playing in that window. The challenge there was that they play each other in the third week of the preseason. So having them play just 2 weeks prior maybe isn't the best use of that asset. And maybe, you know, those are two teams that, you know, we think are going to be relevant this year. What do any of us know? But maybe saving that Jets Giants game for a little later in the season, using it in a slightly different window might have made a little bit more sense. And then you made the point about, you know, the Jets having Aaron Rodgers now, and thankfully that deal got done before our schedule came out. So his first game was going to have a lot of interest. No two ways around it. Kansas City's first game, obviously the Super Bowl champions, was going to have a lot of interest. And as always, the Dallas Cowboys seem to be our, you know, ratings bell cow. So you knew that game was going to have a lot of interest. Those three games kind of made sense for our three primetime windows in week one. So as you kind of spun it forward and thought about who should be Sunday night, who should be Monday night, we kind of landed on Dallas Giants Sunday night of week one. And then what we got was a Jets Bills game on Monday night of week one. And you kind of let the ESPN promotional machine, you know, starting in the morning with all the talk shows and then all throughout the day, kind of talking about Aaron Rodgers and his journey to New York and what did he look like in the preseason, if he even played in the preseason. And obviously, you know, Josh Allen against Aaron Rodgers twice a year is catnip for our fans, for our network partners, and for the scheduling team. So using one of them up here in week one and using another one in another national window later, just felt right.
Yeah, everything. We always get so caught up in how every season comes out and the schedule coming out, where and when and how and why and how and all this. Is this Groundhog Day for you, or is each season is it extremely different, or is it the same problems just recycled?
Yeah, look, it's Groundhog's Day in the sense that, you know, we've been at this for 14 weeks. They kind of let me out of my hole for a minute. They let me talk to nice folks right. like you, and then tomorrow they put me back in my hole. So in that respect, it's Groundhog's Day. But look, the difference here is, you know, every year is a little bit different. This year was very different, actually. We've got a lot more windows. We've got three side-by-side Monday nights. We added the Black Friday game. We've got a Peacock game now to go with our ESPN Plus game. So there's a lot more, call it, mouths to feed relative to how we dole out these 272 games to our partners. And obviously every year is a little different just when you think about, you know, who are the good teams? Who are the up-and-coming teams? You know, none of us know anything. You got to figure, you know, the Kansas Cities of the world are going to be there at the end. The Cincinnati's, the Buffalo's on the AFC side, on the NFC side. You got to figure Philly and San Fran are going to be there. But there might be question marks around most of these other teams, especially some big brands, right? For decades, the Green Bay Packers were one of our, you know, top tier brands and were scheduled throughout the season in national windows. Now, I know we're all interested in seeing what Jordan Love can do in the first couple of weeks of the season. Are they going to be there? Are they going to be relevant? Are they still worthy of national television throughout the season? Did Chicago get better? You know, who's the class of the NFC South now that Brady's retired? There's a lot of open questions, I think, in both conferences. So in that respect, maybe a little different, that which you can count on and that's what you're not 100% sure about. But otherwise, yeah, it's the same process year after year, trying to get the best games into the best windows so the fans can watch the games they want to watch and kind of maximize that television viewership number while also minimizing some of the competitive inequities and the team pain and the three-game road trips and road after road Mondays and early buys and all the things that the teams and the coaches and the fans are going to complain about.
Talking with NFL Vice President of Broadcast Planning, Mike North. And Mike, we know the kickoff game, we knew it was going to include the Chiefs, obviously. In the past, on occasion, it's been the Super Bowl rematch. So we were wondering, knowing that the Chiefs were playing the Eagles, would that go right there in week one? But I wonder if you guys, as planners, felt, well, the first game's going to be so popular on its own volition anyway because football is back. Do we want to use the Super Bowl rematch in week one? How much thought was there to maybe save that for later, so to speak?
Yeah, look, you could have made a really good case for Philly KC for kickoff, right? Let's just pick up right where we left off. Let's have Philly get the ball back down 35-32, and you know, let's keep going. I think we all would have been thrilled if the Super Bowl had another quarter or two in it. So we definitely thought about that. We surely thought about Cincinnati. We thought about Buffalo. We looked at all the division opponents. And then when we kind of came over into the NFC North, we thought about Chicago and we thought about Detroit. You know, Chicago was nothing if not exciting last year. Maybe a three-win team doesn't necessarily warrant, you know, that kind of platform, that kind of first game of the season idea. But, man, the last time we all saw Detroit, they were, what, winning 8 of their last 10? They were going into Lambeau in game 272 and ruining the Packers' season. Like, we always talk about playing your way into primetime. The Lions have done that. So they've earned this additional national exposure. And what do any of us know? Going into Kansas City is no easy task for anybody. But yeah, using Detroit in that window, quote unquote, saving Philadelphia for maybe kind of a November time slot, and then saving your Buffalo and your Cincinnati, Kansas City's for December, right, when hopefully the AFC is, you know, up for grabs.
When you look at this, if you can, give me a thumbnail. I'll give you like three categories. There's big games that, you know, the big matchups that people are going to want to see, at least before the season starts. Big time slots like Black Friday, Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, a three-game Christmas Day triple header. And then you've also got big TV markets you kind of got to think about. And then there's always the wild card of new faces, like Detroit, right? What's the number one priority? Is it the time slots or is it the big games?
Well,
big
look,
matchups,
the
I
number
guess.
One, the number one priority, honestly, is competitive fairness, competitive equity. We can make the perfect television schedule, if there is such a thing, nothing but, you know, Dallas and Kansas right. City and Philadelphia and all the biggest brands and all the national television windows, you know, week after week after week. That might be, you know, maximizing your viewership numbers, but that's not really going to be the fairest team schedules. As opposed to, you could make, you know, perfect team schedules. Every team in the league, open at home, close at home, midseason bye. Nobody goes to Florida in September. Nobody goes to Lambeau or Buffalo in December. Like, that's not going to be your best television schedule. So you got to try to find the balance between the two. And look, you said it right. The number one goal is biggest games in the biggest windows. We're not doing our jobs if we put that Buffalo Kansas City game on a Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock on CBS with four other games and five games on Fox, and maybe only 20% of the country are going to be able to see it. That game needs a national audience. It needs to be available to 100% of the country. So finding those biggest games, those, you know, juiciest apples on the search tree, or whatever an analogy you want to use, it's trying to make sure that the biggest games land in the biggest windows, so that those games that you just kind of rattled off in your mind, we can all look at the list 272 and pick the 10 or 15 best must-see TV games. Those games have to land in national windows. Then it's on us to make sure we spread them around. They shouldn't all be on NBC Sunday Night Football. They shouldn't all be Fox doubleheader games. Everybody's going to have to get a little taste of all that really good inventory.
Last one I've got for you, Mike. We know that the Bills are playing in London in week 5 against the Jaguars as the quote-unquote home team. The thing I found interesting about the games in Europe as far as the schedule goes, and I don't know if this is the first time this has happened, but you went back-to-back-to-back weeks in London and back-to-back weeks in Germany. I like the building momentum idea. It's not like you can't sell those games out. Those games are enormously popular over there. You could have scheduled them wherever you wanted. Why the back-to-back-to-back week model?
Well, back-to-back in Germany, definitely first time ever. We haven't played, right, two games in Germany before. We only right. played our first one last year. The honest answer to your question has to do with stadium availability. We're working around the English Premier League in the UK. We're working around the international breaks for the soccer teams. We're working around the Bundesliga schedule in Germany, trying to find those windows where you can play NFL games. They've got to obviously turn the stadium around and make it NFL friendly. And doing it in back-to-back weeks allows you operationally to have some efficiencies, obviously, to have to turn the whole building to an NFL game one week, turn it back to a Bundesliga game the next week, and then turn it back to an NFL game the following week is a lot of wear and tear on the field, the staff, the operations folks. So being able to do those back-to-back brings some efficiencies. And like I think you just said, it allows you to build a little momentum, right? We did a one-off Germany game last year, and to a certain extent, it kind of popped up out of nowhere. Here's Seattle, Tampa Bay, and then we leave again. Now, you come over there for 2 weeks, and you can really build out like a two-week sort of celebration. You know, we're not in October anymore, but Novemberfest, if you will. I mean, we're going to be over there, and the NFL – you know, is nothing if not a good marketing machine. And being over there for 10 days in a row, being, you know, back to back at Tottenham in September, and you're going to have the Jaguars going over twice, as I think you guys know. They're hosting their own London game in week 4,
right?
And then they're staying to play against the Bills against you guys in week 5. So that'll be a first time for us as well, just kind of testing the waters, see what it's like for a team to go over, stay for the week, practice, meet, sleep, eat, you know, all the stuff that you have to do to get ready for game day. It'll be interesting to see how the Jaguars experience goes. It'll be interesting to see what the Bills say about it. You know, was there an element maybe of unfairness that the Jaguars have been over there for the whole week and they're adjusted to the body clock? And it'll be interesting to see how that game goes, but certainly a toe in the water for us all. Can we play multiple games with the same team overseas, you know, year after year like this? And certainly back-to-back helps from an efficiency standpoint, but I think it'll also help with a momentum standpoint. I think it'll be hard for fans in Germany to miss the fact that we're playing two games there in back-to-back weeks.
Mike, thanks very much for the time. As always, appreciate the insight into, as we said, how the sausage is made by the NFL schedule makers. Appreciate the time.
Always a pleasure, guys. Take care.
All right. That's Mike North, NFL Vice President of Broadcast Planning, one of the chief guys in the schedule-making room at the NFL offices at Park Avenue. We take a break here. More of your phone calls next on the Week 1 matchup, Bills at Jets on Monday Night Football, here on One Bills Live. Stay tuned. right, give us your gut reaction to how the Bills and Jets matchup will play out in week one. Yes, it is the season opener for the Bills on the road on Monday Night Football. Let's go back to the phones at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Open line for you there, and we go to Dave in Clarence. What do you got for us, Dave? You're on One Bills Live.
Hey, guys, great show as usual. But I think the question today is being asked the wrong way. I think the question should be, who has more to prove on that Monday night game, the Bills or the Jets? Let's look at the record real quick. The Bills are the AFC champions 3 years running, have made the playoffs 4 years in a row. They are being doubted by the entire NFL as being washed up and out of contention. And you have two guys who are just love the spotlight, Josh and Steph Diggs, who have committed themselves to renewing their minds for football. What have the Jets proven? They haven't had a great quarterback since 1967. They got a 39-year-old guy coming in, supposed to be a savior. The only thing the Jets have going for them is a media outlet that can spin a great story. So I'm sorry, I don't look for a blowout necessarily, but I do look for Josh, Steph, and the guys to put on one heck of a performance. What do you think?
I like the way you're thinking, Dave, and you laid that out very well. Yeah, I mean, I would be inclined to give the Jets a little bit more credit, not a lot. They had what many felt was a championship-caliber defense last year. That defense has undergone a few changes. Some would say for the better in some spots, and then others would say not so good in some other spots, particularly up front. But the offensive line is something that still has to be fit together with some new parts and some people coming back from injury. Mekhi Becton, where does he land? Is he playing tackle? Is he playing guard? Is he playing right tackle, not left tackle, after being a top 10 pick in the draft and missing the better part of the last two seasons? They've got a lot to figure out, more so on the offensive side of the ball, and that is the tougher side of the ball to fit all together, yeah, knowing all the moving parts that have to go into executing a play. So how good is that going to look in week one? We'll have to wait and see. It's already interesting that the media is on Aaron Rodgers, because last week he said, I should make it to more than half of the voluntary sessions. And people are already questioning, saying, why not most of them, if not all of them? You're a new guy on a new team. I know you know the offense because it's being taken from Green Bay to here, but what the heck, more than half? People are already criticizing the guy.
The voice of the New York Jet fan base is 1,000 times louder than the fan voice in Green Bay.
Yeah.
It's 1,000 times magnified, and the emotion is magnified as well. So when Aaron says, I'm making more than half of them, the Green Bay fans are going, oh, okay, cool. He's kind of engaged this
Thanks,
year.
Thanks, Aaron.
Awesome, right. In New York, it's like, what? Yeah, so it's different. It's going to be a different – he's going to get different feedback from the media that comes out of the Jet organization in regards to him. So – there's that. And I do like, you know, Dave, the way you said it, you know, who has more to prove? I get it. The Bills are a known commodity. And as much as the disappointment of the end of their last season was, they've still got a stable full of stallions in their locker room. The Jets, while they are a very good roster, they're in uncharted waters right now. They are in uncharted waters for this franchise since 67. They got a guy who's proven he can take snaps and be effective. Even whether he's 39 or whether he's 99, the guy can play. And that is something they have been missing, as we've well said this today, since 1967. So the Jet fans are understandably optimistic. And I'll say this, I'm optimistic for them. I think they're going to be a really good team this year. And I think this is going to be a really good game. Certainly the Bills have proven more as a club, but the Jets have every reason to legitimately believe they're going to be a much improved football team from where they were a year ago. And we're going to find out on opening day. But you're right. When push comes to shove, it's about what those guys in the locker room think about their season rather than what the media or me and Brownie say about it.
Let's get back to the phones, and we go to Eddie in Depew. What do you got for us, Eddie? You're on One Bills Live.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I just looked up on Caesar's Sportsbook. I don't know if you guys checked out on any of the early lines of
the
game.
We have, yeah.
Okay, yeah. It's shocking to me, the Bills being only a one-point favorite.
Yeah, it's varied from the different ones that I've seen, Eddie. One of them had him as a three-point favorite. Another one had him as a two-and-a-half-point favorite. So you're saying you've got him as a one.
Right, which means, I mean, they're on a neutral site, they're saying the Jets are better.
That's right.
Yeah.
And what that is, and Eddie, what you have to remember is it has nothing to do with football. The lines that they set have nothing to do with the game that's actually going to be played. It has to do with the public perception about the teams in the game and
how
who's
it's
betting
turn out.
And how it's how the gambling population sees the game, not how they think the game may go. They're trying to read the people outside the game rather than the game itself. They don't care about the game itself. They're trying to read the fans of both teams.
Yeah, what's the public perception?
What's the public perception and who's betting? And I've heard it started out at Bills minus three, which means it's on a neutral field, they'd be dead even. And is that right? Dead even, or is it the other way? Anyway, I don't gamble.
Neither do I.
But now you're telling me it's a Bills plus one.
No, minus one.
Or minus one instead of minus three. That tells you it's moving already, that if it's the same line I heard, that it's going to move as the preseason rolls along.
Yeah.
So this has nothing to do with the sportsbooks do not care how the game turns out.
They
have money, skin of the game, but they want
even money on
both sides. They want the Bills fans to bet as much money on their team as the Jet fans bet on theirs, and they want it to be every cent everybody's got. Right? I mean, because they want the most money, right? So they don't care how the game turns out, cuz they're going to get paid anyway. The only bad thing that can happen for the sports books is if all the money's on one team and that team comes through. That's not going to happen, and that's why the line moves. So don't – and I know I'm, for a lot of people out there, they're saying, yeah, no duh. But some people don't think about it like that. It's not – they don't care about the game. They care about what the betting public thinks about the game, and they play on that to set the odds.
Yeah. And they want to split that perception
right down the middle.
So they got money on both sides so the house doesn't lose.
Right.
Let's go to the tweet sheet to get some thoughts on your gut reaction to how the Bills and Jets matchup will play out in week one. Tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official equipment moving company of the Buffalo Bills. Rick leads us off and says the Jets are nothing but hype and haven't been relevant in over a decade. They're only drawing attention because of 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers. Meanwhile, the Bills are the three-time AFC East champs who went 13-3 last year despite several major distractions. Bills by at least 21. That's ambitious, Rick, but
yeah.
I get it. The Bills have had far greater staying power of late than that of the Jets, but the Jets do have a four-time MVP at quarterback right now, which is the best they can say for themselves probably since an over-the-hill Brett Favre played quarterback for them in 2008. So,
yeah. It seems like it was 1958 when Brett Favre was there. It seems so long ago, right?
He was one and done there, yeah.
Yeah. But
went to Minnesota.
Yeah. I've got maybe, I don't know, what are the scar tissue or whatever. I got a lot of respect for the Jets. I think they're going to be a really good football team this year. I think this is going to be a great game, and I don't think it's going to be an easy win for the Bills.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I think we got a lot. And plus, I also realize that we're still, you know, May, June, July, August, and September away from it. We're 16, 18 weeks away from it. So let's just sit tight for a minute.
And the other thing we need to remember, last year, the Bills only scored 13 and 20 points against this team.
They're a great defense.
And this is a team that was second in the league in scoring,
yeah,
despite those two subpar point-scoring performances. But the Jets held them 20 or below in both games. So that's their defense is nothing to sneeze at. So that's got to be respected. And now their offense figures to be better with Rodgers at the helm. We have to take a break here. When we come back, more of your thoughts on the tweet sheet as we look for your gut reaction to the announcement of the Bills season opener at the Jets week one on Monday Night Football. We're back in a moment here on One Bills Live. All right, right back to the tweet sheet we go for your gut reaction to the announcement that the Bills will open the season on the road at MetLife Stadium against the Jets on Monday Night Football and Aaron Rodgers, Jets debut. What say you about that matchup? Andrea on the tweet sheet says, I thought it would be Sunday Night Football, but very intriguing. Make no mistake, the Jets are a team to be reckoned with, but Bills always come out of the gate great. Sean is probably breaking down Packers, Jets, and Broncos tape. I'm psyched. Wonder why Broncos tape. Oh, from
Nate
Hackett.
Nate Hackett and Russ Wilson. Listen, Russ Wilson's no Aaron Rodgers, particularly last year. And, no doubt he will be breaking down tape from all of those teams, and Nate Hackett and particularly Aaron Rodgers from the Packers, and probably from Aaron Rodgers and Nate Hackett in Green Bay together 3 or 4 years ago.
Yes.
So there's a lot going on there. Yeah, that's commonplace. They will be breaking that film down and trying to extrapolate what they think it's going to look like.
Yeah. I know some people who were being clearly sarcastic on social media after the Rodgers trade finally happened said, geez, I wonder if Aaron Rodgers' first season in New York with the Jets is going to look anything like Russell Wilson's first season with the Denver Broncos under Nathaniel Hackett.
I said that, too. I was making a joke about that, too. Is Nate Hackett going to work miracles like he did with Russ Wilson? I mean, that was ugly.
I can't. And here's the crazy thing, Steve. You could make the argument that Denver's wide receiving core is better than what the Jets put on the field. Cortland Sutton, K.J. Hamler, Jerry Judy.
Yeah.
And, I mean.
Okay. Yeah, right.
Well, I mean, and Patrick, the Patrick kid, he got hurt last year.
The Jets have got Alan Lazard now, Denzel Mims, Dante Spencer.
Who?
Jason Brownlee.
Come again?
And then you got Garrett Wilson, Randall Cobb, Xavier Gibson.
Okay, no.
So, right. A little top heavy. A little top heavy in New York.
But I'm just saying, you think about the personnel that Hackett had to work with in Denver, and it didn't come together.
That's a good point by you.
Is it better with the Jets on offense right now? No, especially with an offensive line that's still being fit together as well. You're good at the guard spots there.
I'm not as down on the Jet offensive
line. They drafted
line
a center
a
that you
are.
Liked in Joe Tippmann, who may unseat Connor McGovern. They're Connor McGovern, not the Bills.
Right.
But tackle is still something that has to be sorted out with a collection of injured guys, really old guys, like Dwayne Brown is going to turn 39 this season.
Right.
I mean, I don't think they, in an ideal world, they want him playing left tackle. I think they want him as a swing tackle.
Right.
There's a lot to fit together there.
They got Laken Tomlinson.
Good
Elijah
player.
Vera Tucker.
Right. Those are their two starting guards, two good players. Then so they're good
got,
there.
Then they got Tristan Colon, Chris Glazer, Brent Lang, Max Mitchell.
Right.
Cedric Ogbehi.
Hell no.
Adam Pankey.
No,
Wes
again.
Schweitzer.
Yeah, free agent
Greg
from Washington.
Greg Sinat. Eric Smith.
Yeah, don't.
That's it.
You don't waste your time. So they've got some stuff to fit together up front, and it may turn out great. Who knows?
Well, they got Mekhi Becton, Dwayne Brown.
Yeah,
Billy
but
Mekhi
Becton hasn't played in 2 calendar years. You gonna roll him out there at left tackle on week one, Monday night against Von Miller if he's playing? Are you doing that?
It's gonna be Dwayne Brown or maybe Billy Turner even.
Yeah, Billy Turner they just signed recently too, and they want him to play tackle, not guard. So
right. I'm not as down on those guys up front as a lot of people are. I think those guys are going to come together fine, and there's some depth there.
In week one, you think it'll be
all fit together?
That's the thing.
I get that. I just don't think they're going to be talentless.
No.
So they're going to have some guys. If they can get a hat on a hat, they're going to be better than what I think people think they're going to be.
Let's
face it. Everybody in this end of the business, which is on this side of the microphones, everybody is saying the Jets' offensive line is not going to be – is going to be the weak link. And a little bit of that, to me, is the depth of their roster every place else. I mean, they're good. They got some talent. So if you're looking for a hole in their roster without some chops that have already been earned, it's their offensive line. But having said that, I'm a little bit more positive about those guys up front than maybe a lot of guys are.
Ted on the tweet sheet says, we get it out of the way week one. Bills at Jets. We go to New Jersey under the radar, just how we like it. I think we have a similar game to our opener last year, and we stop the A-Rod hype train as soon as it leaves the station. I like that line. Pretty good from Tad there. Bills News Consolidated says offenses lag at the beginning of the year. That's what I was getting at.
Right.
Therefore, Aaron Rodgers' first game as a New York Jet won't be their best. Rodgers won't always be on the same page with his targets. Now, two of his targets are coming with him from Green Bay. So
right.
Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb conceivably should be fine. Getting on the same page with Garrett Wilson is of paramount importance because that guy was productive during an abominable quarterback season with the Jets last year. He still had over 80 receptions, right. Was a clear number one receiver, established himself as a number one receiver in his rookie year, and was the rookie offensive player of the year.
With no quarterback.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean,
in an abominable quarterback season.
Oh, my
season.
Gosh. It was
abominable.
And yeah, so they – yeah. And I like Robert Saleh. I got a lot of respect for him as a coach. I think he has navigated the New York market and that and all the unique things about that franchise very well in the midst of, yeah, what happened to them in the draft last year. We'll see. I think if I'm a Jet fan – and I've said a ton on this show. If I'm a Jet fan, I don't know what to do because they have done everything. I don't want to say everything, but they've done everything right for two straight off seasons. They're going to see some results for that, I think. They're going to see some real positive change in what's happening with the Jets. If they can keep it, you know, emotionally together. If they can weather the storms that every team goes through, they're going to stumble. They're going to have some bad weeks, and they may get off to a slow start. All that you got to see through that, I think, and I think they're going to have a much better season. It's just going to be much better for the Jets this year.
Danny,
it may start on Monday night.
Yeah,
they're good, man. They're going to be good.
Danny on the tweet sheet says, "Great game to start the season. The ratings will be huge." Well, you know our guest in. Couple of segments ago, Mike North is hoping for that for sure.
Right.
Got to keep those broadcast partners happy. This is a good way to start. Robert on the tweet sheet says, "I hope all of this hype on the Jets backfires and they end up with the number one overall pick next
year. Wow.
I don't know if you want that because that means they're going to draft a quarterback.
Right.
If it goes that bad, Rodgers is gone and they're taking the best quarterback on the board and they're going to have the first pick. You don't want that.
No, you want them to have like the
you
fourth
You want it to be
pick.
6 and
you
want, 12
right.
or 6
be,
and 11.
5 and 11. 5 and 12. That way they'll be like they'll be
just out of quarterback range.
Right, they'll be like 6th overall pick. That's perfect, right there.
Or just have them go 7-10. You know, that's all
yeah, that's right.
From Barkert, I love it. Face who I consider to be our toughest matchup in the East at our healthiest. No excuses. Shut down the Jets hype right away. You can tell that all the hype for the Jets. Is really bothering the Bills fan base. Like, it's irked them.
Well, here's
as if to say, like, what have you proven?
I can't speak for all Bills fans, and you and I have felt, you and I kind of get a firsthand view of it when we have callers and all this. Bills fans are, it's that two-edged sword. On one hand, it's like, we
get
don't
no respect.
Pick, don't pick us.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Don't pick us. We're not front-running. It was uncomfortable last year when we were the favorite. it's not right.
Bad karma.
Right. Now, this year, it's like, oh, you don't think we're any good?
We don't get any respect.
We don't get any respect. That's right. Yeah. We're going to show you.
Keep making us the Rodney Dangerfield of NFL football.
We're the 3-time division champions.
Yeah.
We're the ones that overcame the catastrophic distractions from a year ago. We're those guys, and you don't think we can do it? Hey, that's where we're at.
Yeah,
it's like, don't pick us, but you should be picking us.
Yeah, right. Philip on the tweet sheet says, Bills by a billion. But seriously, to start season on Monday, not a fan, puts the Bills on a short week the following week because my gut says the Jets is the beginning of a difficult slate of games / travel to start the season that won't end until the parade and Lombardi come to Buffalo.
I'll say this. It's a tough schedule.
Yeah, we know that
we
already.
Got a tough schedule, right? There's
seventh toughest by percentage points.
There's no dodge in it. So it's going to look bad. There's going to be stretches of the season. Probably they're going to look bad. There always are. And this one's
beyond that, I think, because you got the AFC West, you've got the NFC East, you've got our own division, and
which
the
is
two
stronger.
And the two teams outside of our division are Kansas City and Cincinnati. I mean,
hello,
yeah, hell yeah, it's a tough schedule. So it's I think there's probably going to be a stretch in the schedule, maybe two stretches, or maybe the whole thing. And there's going to be travel and short weeks. I think it's going to be – there's just no dodging it.
Bills have 10
Bills
games.
Bills fans, there's no dodging it. It's going to look bad
the Bills,
from this end.
The Bills have 10 games against playoff teams from last season. That's all you need to know.
That's right.
Including the two teams that were in the Super Bowl. The two conference champions. You got both of them.
Right.
So
and teams like the Giants who think – they were rebuilding last year. Now they're going to be a year further along.
Yeah.
Yeah, so stuff like that's going on.
Andrew on the tweet sheet says, I think it's going to be a back-and-forth game, but in the end I think the Bills can pull it off. The one thing I'm totally upset about is why are the Chiefs playing the Lions? Why don't they just give them the game? Meaning they have no faith in the Lions.
He likes the Lions as much as I do.
I do have to say, and we heard from Mike North earlier this hour kind of explain it, because I asked him, you know, why were the Lions a fit for you there? And I think they have a lot of respect for the way the Lions finished the season last year. I think they won 8 of their last 10, including knocking Green Bay out of the playoffs last year in the final game of the season. They needed help to get in themselves and didn't get it. That they were not a win and in. They were a win, need help to get in. They didn't get the help they needed, so they didn't qualify for the playoffs themselves. But they can score points. We know that. And maybe the league thinks they can be a competitive side against the Chiefs. I got to say this. That is a big step up in weight class. Yeah. Going there, when they're raising another banner, flying the flag, Thursday night, national televised game at Arrowhead, welcome to the real party, pal. That's what I got to say to Detroit. Can you swing with the big dogs?
Let me just tell you something. And the big dogs go in there like the Bills did going into L.A. last year in the face of them raising, doing the exact same thing and thumping them in the mouth. You got to go in and swing for it. And I'm sure Dan Campbell Campbell's going to do that. He's going to have his guys ready. But that's what you're walking into. You're right, Brownie. It's an up in weight class. This isn't the NFC North.
The flyweight division.
This is not the relegation conference over in the NFC.
Yeah.
This is the AFC.
Defending Super Bowl champs.
Defending MVP, Bruce Lee. Roll into that. Smell the barbecue. It might be you.
We got to get you writing more of these things, man. That was good. I like that. Jeremy on the tweet sheet. Given the amount of time to prepare on both sides, I think we win an exciting game. Both the O and the D will be ready. And then from Jake, first off, I predicted it with you, Chris Brown. Oh, the week one matchup, right. The Bills have to attack this Jets defense in the slot and the deep middle. They found out how to slow our outside receivers. Now we just have to adjust. This matchup can play out well for Kincaid, Knox, and the running backs.
I like
the middle of the field idea.
Yeah, I think it's a real
linebackers
question mark.
Linebackers are slow.
At this point, we don't know because we haven't seen them in the preseason and all that. Their defense was really good on the edges. I'll say this. You're going to have to go really deep. If you're going to play Sauce Gardner at man-to-man coverage and go down the line from there, you better go really deep with guys that can cover against this Bills offense, because they're going to throw some guys out there that can win against man-to-man. And you got a chance of having a small corner on a big, fast tight end that the Bills just drafted. And you're going to have a chance to get a linebacker on Knox, all that stuff. I think the Bills' ability to go deep down their roster with guys who can catch and be a threat, and also on defense where we don't know what it's going to look like with Sean McDermott calling the plays and a new roster. Lots of stuff to look forward to on this. And a lot of question marks. The Jets can say, well, it's the same old team as the Bills. It's not the same old team. It's going to have some refresh to it.
A reminder for you, when the schedule comes out tonight at 8 o'clock, go over to the Bills' social media channels. We'll be breaking down the Bills' schedule, Matty Glab and myself. For all the info you need on the breakdown of the Bills schedule, go to the Bills social media channels tonight at 8:01 p.m. We'll be there for you. We'll see you tomorrow here at 1.